News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I am Pathikrit Sengupta. Let's have a listen to some of the top stories at this time. BJP President Amit Shah might visit Shiv Sena Chief Uddhav Thackeray on Wednesday after attending a meeting of the BJP's newly elected MLAs to elect the leader of the House in Mumbai, days after the results of the October 21 Maharashtra Assembly elections were declared. Shah's meeting with Thackeray, if it happens, assumes huge political significance given the Sena's demand for equal sharing of power in the next government in view of the senior allies' weakened tally. According to sources, Sena's equal sharing of power entails chief ministership for Thackeray's son Aditya Thackeray, a first-time MLA. A meeting of the BJP Legislative Party will take place in Mumbai on October 30. All the party legislators and state office bearers will also be present. Our national president Amit Shah and Maharashtra BJP in charge Saroj Pandey will also be present at the meeting, BJP MLC Girish Vyas said. After the meeting, Shah may visit Uddhav Thackeray. Thackeray had made it clear that his party would not understand the problems of the BJP every time. When results of the polls were being announced on October 24, Thackeray had reminded the BJP of the 50-50 formula reportedly agreed upon between himself, Shah and Chief Minister Devendra Fadnavis ahead of the 2019 Lok Sabha polls. I contested less number of seats for Lok Sabha and Assembly elections. I cannot accommodate the BJP every time. I want to remind the BJP about the formula which was worked out in the presence of Amit Shah, Thackeray had said. On Saturday, the Sena demanded a written assurance from the BJP that it will implement the formula for equal sharing of power. Thackeray had told MLAs of his party that though other options were open for him, he didn't want to explore them given that the alliance of the BJP and the Sena is bound by the Hindutva ideology. The Sena won 56 seats, 7 less than in 2014, in the 288-member house. The Sena has more leverage now as the BJP, whose tally came down from 122 in 2014 to 105, needs it more to cross the halfway mark of 144. And Manohar Lal Khattar took oath as the Haryana Chief Minister for a second term on Sunday and will lead the BJP-JJP coalition government in the state. JJP leader Dushyant Chautala took oath as his deputy a day after the governor invited him to lead the alliance that also has the support of 7 independents. Haryana Governor Satyadev Narayan Arya administered the oath at a ceremony lasting less than 10 minutes held at the Raj Bhavan on Diwali. Barring Khattar and Dushyant, no cabinet member took oath. The full cabinet will take oath after Diwali. Among those present were BJP Working President JP Nadda, Punjab Governor VP Singh Badnor, Union Ministers Krishan Pal Gurjar, RL Kataria, Uttarakhand Chief Minister Trivendra Singh Rawat, Himachal Pradesh Chief Minister Jairam Thakur and former Haryana Chief Minister Bhupinder Singh Hooda. 5-time Punjab Chief Minister Prakash Singh Badal, whose party Shiromani Akali Dal had an alliance with BJP's rival Indian National Lok Dal during the assembly elections, despite being an NDA partner, attended the ceremony along with son and Member of Parliament Sukhbir Badal. Congress leader and 2-time Chief Minister Bhupinder Hooda, who attended the ceremony, described the BJP-JJP alliance as opportunist, unholy and against the mandate. Dushyant Chautala's father, Ajay Chautala, who stepped out of the Tihar jail on Saturday on a furlough, also attended the event. Dushyant Chautala's mother, Naina Chautala, who has been re-elected MLA for the second time, was also present. Ajay Chautala is lodged in Tihar jail in Delhi after his conviction in a teacher's recruitment scam. A layer of haze blanketed the national capital and its air quality dipped to very poor category, with revelers continuing to defy with impunity the Supreme Court enforced 2-hour limit for bursting crackers on Diwali on Sunday. Air-deafening booms, toxic smoke and ash from firecrackers filled the air as the overall air quality index crossed the severe mark at many places. People reported violation of the 2-hour window in Malviya Nagar, Lajpat Nagar, Kailash Hills, Burari, Jangpura, Shahdara, Lakshminagar, Mayur Vihar, Sarita Vihar, Harinagar, New Friends Colony, Dwarka and other places. Residents in Noida, Gurgaon and Ghaziabad also reported extensive fireworks much beyond the time frame. People could also be seen bursting crackers before 8 p.m. However, the intensity remained low. At 11 p.m, Delhi's overall air quality index stood at 327, according to government agencies. On Saturday, the AQI stood at 302. After last year's Diwali, Delhi's AQI had crossed the 600 mark, which is 12 times the safe limit. In 2017, the AQI post-Diwali was 367. With Delhi's air quality plummeting to dangerous levels around Diwali every year, the Supreme Court in 2018 banned polluting firecrackers and ordered that only green firecrackers, which is said to cause 30% less pollution, can be manufactured and sold. But the green pyrotechnics have failed to draw good response both from sellers and buyers, primarily due to lack of variety, limited stock and high prices. Last year also, people continued to buy the conventional firecrackers and use them. The period between October 15 and November 15 is considered critical for Delhi NCR's air quality due to stubble burning in neighbouring states, firecracker emissions on Diwali and weather patterns across the region trapping pollutants in the atmosphere. The weather department said, primarily the westerly winds which carry smoke from stubble burning in Haryana and Punjab to Delhi NCR were blowing in the region. On Saturday, the Delhi government launched a four-day mega laser show in an effort to discourage residents from bursting firecrackers and celebrating Diwali with lights and music. During the show, laser lights were beamed in sync with patriotic songs and Ramayana narration. The prevailing air pollution in the National Capital Region has also become a cause for concern ahead of the T20 International between India and Bangladesh on November 3. Back in December 2017, the Sri Lankan cricket team was left gasping for breath during a test match in the city, forcing most of the players to wear protective masks even as some fell ill. BCCI and DDC officials are now hoping that the city's poor air quality doesn't become an issue during the night encounter. And President Donald Trump announced on Sunday that fugitive Islamic State leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi died in a raid by U.S. Special Forces in northwest Syria in a major blow for the jihadist group. Baghdadi killed himself during the raid by igniting a suicide vest, Trump said in a televised address from the White House. Test results from the aftermath of the raid had positively identified Baghdadi, he said. He was a sick and depraved man and now he is gone, Trump said. No U.S. personnel were lost in the operation, while a large number of Baghdadi's fighters and companions were killed with him, said Trump. Baghdadi died after running into a dead-end tunnel, whimpering and crying and screaming all the way, said the president. Baghdadi had long been sought by the U.S. as head of a jihadist group that at one point controlled large areas of Syria and Iraq, declaring a caliphate. The group has carried out atrocities against religious minorities and attacks on five continents in the name of a version of an ultra-fanatic Islam that horrified mainstream Muslims. In recent years, the group had lost most of its territory, but while the destruction of the quasi-state that Baghdadi built has denied the group its recruiting tool and logistical base from which it could train fighters and plan coordinated attacks overseas, most security experts believe Islamic State remains a threat through clandestine operations or attacks. Trump had faced withering criticism from fellow Republicans and Democrats for announcing a withdrawal of U.S. troops from northeastern Syria earlier this month, which permitted Turkey to attack America's Kurdish allies as it sought to set up a safe zone. Many critics of the pullout have expressed concern both at the abandoning of the Kurdish forces, who had been instrumental in defeating Islamic State in Syria, and that the move might allow the group to regain strength and pose a threat to U.S. interests. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.